Welcome in to the final edition of the Daily Tap for this week. It is Wednesday, September 12th. How is everybody doing today? Halfway through the work week. Like we said, it is the last Daily Tap of the week. That is kind of a wild thing to say, right? Daily Tap used to be this thing we did every day. It used to, I wouldn't say it got stale, but it used to be an everyday sort of thing. And now with all the other shows on the Snow Tap Network, we have Tapping the Keg tomorrow. We have Weekend Watch List on Friday. We have Pardon Murph's Fantasy on Saturday. Get your fantasy questions in to at Dean Nolan Murphy. You can also send them at SnowTapWI on Twitter. I can feed them to Murph if you do have them, if you're not following Murph already. And then on Sunday, we have the NFL Wake and Take. So really excited. I mean, that to me gets me going, right? Like you guys, this is why you should be a subscriber. This is why you should get on board. This is why you should tell your friends, like, this isn't just two podcasts. This is five podcasts, one subscription. That's all it takes. We are not going to fill your iTunes. We're not going to fill your Google Play with a bunch of different podcasts. We are just doing one, and that's one network under the umbrella, our five shows. So excited to do all that this week. It's really going to be a good week two. I think there's a lot of good NFL games. I think there's a lot of good college games in week three. So we'll talk about all of that. But today, we're going to talk about the Brewers-Cubs last night's Jose Quintana masterpiece, then discuss the Packer defense versus this new look Viking offense, as well as talk about Quintez Cephas and the latest on him. But before we do, as you know, Snow Tap Network, yes, we are right on the site, Snow Tap WI. I still got to add the few podcasts that I just talked about onto the tab. We will have those added sooner rather than later, though, and get that rolling for you. So let's waste no more time. So the Milwaukee Brewers had probably the biggest game of their, I would say, since 2011. I mean, I know that that's sort of been a thing that people have brought up in local radio and on TV and whatnot, but the Milwaukee Brewers could have tied for the division in the month of September on September 11th with a few games left to play against Jose Quintana, who's been a thorn in the side, maybe the president of the Brewer Killer Club. Usually we reserve that for offensive players, but Jose Quintana continues to dominate, like we used to see with guys like Adam Wainwright, Jaime Garcia, few other names to think of that just would dominate the Brewers. There's a guy, what's his name? He played for the Astros. He was a pitcher. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. And I don't know if he was that successful, but I always remembered him pitching well. Oh, shit. Is it Wade Miller? Wade Miller? Yeah, I think it was Wade Miller. Wade Miller was great against, I think he had great numbers against the Brewers. That name could be wrong, but he was a good pitch. I'll have to look that up, but I don't know why I thought of that. But regardless, Quintana has faced the Brewers six times. He is the first pitcher to face the Brewers six times in a season since some random ass guy in 1975. I think Brian Anderson called him Vern Lundgren. I was like, I've never heard of this dude. But he is he's the first guy to face them six times. And he has dominated the Brewers really five out of those six times. The only time the Brewers were able to get to him was his last month in Wrigley when Ryan Braun went Yabo on him twice. And that was great. I mean, you thought you turned the corner against Quintana, but then he dominated the Brewers last week at Miller Park. I was in the building for that one. And then last night he did it again. And I said it on the Brew Cap this morning, SnowTap WI, it's a website, like, he's our daddy. Like, it's the old Pedro Martinez quote. Like, if you want me to say, like, they're my daddy, talking about the Yankees offense. And that's how I really feel about Jose Quintana. Like, he is that damn good against the Brewers. And the numbers are crazy. Like, if you look at his splits against the rest of the league compared to what he's done against the Brewers, it's amazing. I mean, granted, he's been pitching a lot better recently, but he's been pitching a lot better recently because he's faced the Brewers twice. Like, his ERA is down to 3.97, and he's sort of rounding into form as the one guy that I think the Brewers do not want to see in the postseason. If there is a Brewers-Cub postseason matchup, I would imagine that Jose Quintana is your game one starter, and I think he may be game four, he may be game five, because the Brewers are completely befuddled against Jose Quintana, and I don't get it. Like, they've done such a good job with the book against the Cubs. Like, they've done a very good job in terms of defensively. We talked about that on yesterday's Daily Tap. And really, the runs that were let in, besides the Carantini double in the seventh, which, you know, nothing you can do there. Brandon Woodruff gave up a run. But Carantini's single that drove in a run, I mean, if Chacín doesn't make the wild throw to second base, which I don't even really know what he was doing there in the first place. And if he doesn't make that throw, they are perfectly scouted for that to just, there is a run that probably scores, but they at least get the out. Like, that, the out is got. You have Quintana coming up next. I also could question why they didn't walk Carantini to face Quintana, who's a terrible hitter. I guess you do have to deal with Ian Happ then in the ninth spot. If, say, he strikes out, you have the bases loaded with two outs, but I don't know. I mean, that's second-guess shit, right? You can't necessarily, I think, really have that sort of thought in mind because, you know, that's just so early in a baseball game, right? Like, it's so early. I think if it's the fifth inning, I think that then you can start wondering, start questioning Craig Counsell a little bit more, but it's way too early in that game to really be thinking about, Is this going to be a game-changing play? Maybe you have to think that way with a guy like Quintana and say, okay, we're only expecting to get two runs because we can't figure out this guy. And I really do think if they do face him in the playoffs that the Brewers are going to have to try different lineups. They're going to just have to try something new to throw off him. I don't know if it's Lorenzo Cain batting third and Ryan Braun leading off. I'm not sure. I don't know what this team looks like to how do you figure out Quintana, but I know that the Brewers scouting department, which I think did a great job with the defense against the Cubs, I think now the focus should be how do they figure out Jose Quintana? What does the tape show? What can they do? I mean, when they got him into the stretch in the fourth inning, he clearly seemed rattled. That seemed like the inning for the Brewers. And then Jesus Aguilar's struggles continued. And we've talked about this on yesterday's podcast, but Jesus Aguilar, I think, needs to sit. I think you're going to see Eric Thames tonight against Kyle Hendricks. I think you'll see Eric Thames a little bit more this weekend. I do not believe Pittsburgh is bringing some lefties to town. They are not as lefty-heavy as the last few teams the Brewers have seen. Speaking of tonight, the Brewers, I would say this is a must-win. So if the Brewers do want to obtain that NL Central, now granted, the Cubs have six games, I believe, left against the St. Louis Cardinals. They at least have one more series left against the Cardinals to finish off the year. But if the Brewers want to get the division, if they want to capture this division, they have got to win tonight. This is a must-win series or must-win game for the Milwaukee Brewers. And this is definitely one that is going to be difficult. I mean, I would say they are not the favorites with Kyle Hendricks on the mound, who's pitched well against the Brewers in the past, and Chase Anderson, who's leading the National League in home runs. I think the leash should be very short for Chase Anderson. I don't think he should really get that much latitude. I think if there is a hint of struggling for Chase, I think you get up Freddy Peralta, you get up somebody who can kind of go, maybe Corbin Burns, you get up somebody who can go three or four innings if Anderson's struggling within the first three innings of the game. Now, Chase could be great. Chase does have good road splits, and we've seen that in the past, so we'll see if Chase Anderson can, you know, sort of be that road warrior that he's been this year. He's allowed less home runs. He's been less of a factor on the road and should be a nice day. Well, I don't think that he's going to get aided by the wind. And Hendricks, while he's been good against the Brewers, he has given up some home runs, especially to lefties. So that does play well into the Brewers' strength. I really do think this game, this series, this matchup, it really depends on that first couple runs scored. We really haven't seen many comebacks, and I knock on wood there because you never know. You just would like the Brewers to get this done one game back, and then the Cubs have to go for that one gamer with Washington, which is still on amid all the hurricane concerns that are going on on the East Coast. I don't think it's going to get to D.C. maybe until Friday, so I think they're going to try to play this game on Thursday. If there's a window, they're going to try to play this game on Thursday. And I know Cubs fans get it all riled up about it, but that's just how baseball is. That's baseball, Susan. All right, moving on to the Green Bay Packers. So the Packers and Vikings get going on Sunday. Probably one of the biggest games of the weekend. I really think you have a great first and second game this week. The primetime game sucks. I think Giants-Cowboys is going to be a snore. I mean, I really think the Cowboys are not that excited this year. But you get Packers-Vikings in game one, Patriots-Jaguars in game two, and then Seahawks-Bears on Monday night's also a very good game, I think. So you do have three games that are, I think, worth the price of admission, right? So I definitely like what's going on there. But in that regard, the Packers defense will, this will be a good test for Mike Patton. Now, Mike Patton had sort of said that they were using a lot of last year's concepts in the first couple weeks of the season to get this team familiarized. He didn't want to inundate this young defense with a lot of the different exotic schemes. And you saw a little bit of the exotics from Patton, but you didn't necessarily see the full sort of array of them. And I wonder if there'll be a little more this year. And you look at Kirk Cousins against the Packers, it has not been a successful run for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is 1-1, I believe, or 1-2 against the Packers. He had a playoff loss, and then he was able to beat them on a Sunday night. But Cousins definitely struggled in that playoff game, and I think that is the one that you look at from a film of what can you exploit from Kirk Cousins. You know that he can be a turnover machine at times. You know he can fumble the football. The Packers do need to find how you get more pass rush. I wonder if Reggie Gilbert is going to get more snaps than Clay Matthews. I mean, Clay Matthews had just an absolutely horrific grade on Pro Football Focus, one of the worst in the league. I really do think Reggie Gilbert deserves some of his snaps. We'll see if Clay... This is a big game for Clay Matthews. I think this is a really important game for Clay Matthews to see what he can do. And you definitely can take advantage of this Vikings offensive line. This offensive line is banged up. You saw the 49ers get in there. That led to a lot of drop-offs with Dalvin Cook. Blake Martinez is going to have to be good in the flats because Dalvin Cook got a lot of balls in the flat. And then obviously you have their receivers, and their receivers are some of the best in football with Adam Thielen in the slot, and then you also have Stephon Diggs on the outside. Stephon Diggs has killed the Packers in the past. Mostly Stephon Diggs killing the Packers has been inside U.S. Bank Stadium, but now Diggs on the outside, he'll be having to deal with Kevin King. Kevin King did a pretty good job against Allen Robinson once he figured out what Allen Robinson was all about. I look forward to that as well this week. And then you have Adam Thielen probably facing Josh Jackson. I would assume that Josh Jackson, Jair Alexander get sort of that assignment of Adam Thielen. And we'll see though. I mean, they'll see if they how they do with Thielen. Thielen has torn up the Packers as well. He had that massive game in Lambeau 2 years ago against the Packers in that sort of back and forth where Aaron Rodgers had sort of went crazy. Now, Dalvin Cook, I don't think necessarily is the running back that we may see when the Packers and Vikings get together in late November at U.S. Bank Stadium. I think that Dalvin Cook's going to be a lot different than the Dalvin Cook we're seeing on Sunday. I think Cook is not fully back in terms of that ACL injury from a running back perspective. He's definitely getting a bulk of snaps. He played a lot in game one, so you'll see a lot of Dalvin Cook, but I don't think they're going to lean on him as much as they did. Obviously, Kyle Rudolph's a red zone target. Now, they applied Josh Jackson to Trey Burton in the second half of that Bears game. I would imagine that Kyle Rudolph doesn't get the same attention that Burton did, considering the receivers are much better for the Vikings over the Bears. But I do think that Kyle Rudolph is a factor, especially in the red zone. He's been known to have a decent game against the Packers in the past. So I think really the importance is frustrate Kirk Cousins. Make sure that, you know, you try to contain Diggs and try not to let anything vertical go past the deepest man. And then also, too, you know, make sure Dalvin Cook isn't a factor in the flats. I do think that is a tinge of concern for the Packers, and as they've struggled with that in the past. They've definitely struggled with guys out of the backfield making plays, and that just drives you crazy. And I know the Bears did some of that. I imagine the Vikings will do similar things. All right, wrapping up the show today, I did want to mention the latest on Quintez Cephas. So as you may know, I don't know how much you're following this, but Quintez Cephas was doing the preliminary hearing for the sexual assault case with him and two women. and Quintez Cephas will now stand trial. The judge decided yesterday that he will stand trial for this. Danny Davis served his two-game suspension. He is now back with the team on the Badger depth chart. He will play against BYU. So Cephas is now in an interesting situation for the Badgers. I do not think the Badgers can bring him onto the roster. I'm not sure how the policy states. I read the article this morning. It didn't say anything about sort of his status with the team, but I would imagine that Cephas is probably out for the season. Because I mostly trials, I mean, usually when someone goes to trial, it's not something that is cut and dry and done in that year. Usually the trial happens in, you know, next June, you know, next April, next March. I think with the Badgers policy, I believe that they would want to play it safe. I do not think they would want to have something where they'd say, oh yeah, he's welcome back on the team, and then he's found guilty of sexual assault in the next calendar year. I don't think that is what the Badgers are about. I don't think that's what their policy is about. I think that would go against what their policy says. So I would imagine that we probably will not see Quintez Cephas this year. I think he's a redshirt already, so he's going to have to burn a year. I do think if he's found not guilty, he could probably apply to a hardship with the league that, or with the NCAA. That'd be a very interesting case locally and nationally if Cephas was going to try to get a year back. But I just don't think you can play him. I mean, maybe Paul Chryst knows something I don't, but I don't think that would be a good message to send. Is a guy who, yeah, there are facts on both sides of this, and we're still in that unknown, and his lawyers seem very confident, but all lawyers seem confident in their client. Like, when has a lawyer not been like, yeah, this guy's guilty? I mean, you've seen some of the people do the most despicable things, and it's obvious that they are the ones who've done said despicable thing, yet the lawyers still go for their clients. That's why people hate lawyers, right? So the fact is like, Cephas, I just don't think you can play him this year. I don't think that, unless the trial is going to start pretty soon, and they just, and but still, like, you got to keep him suspended until that trial wraps up. Like, you can't necessarily play him. I don't think that's gonna fly for the Wisconsin Badgers. So we'll see. We'll keep monitoring that situation. Like I said, last Daily Tap of the week. We will be back on Sunday afternoon to wrap up the Packer Viking game. Maybe the Brewers and Pirates will get done. Thankfully, that would be hopeful. But we like to get the reaction right after the game. And so I believe the Brewers and Pirates will just be wrapping up. So hopefully we'll know what went on in that game to talk about it. And then also anything else that is under the sun. But usually those will be the two topics there on Reaction Monday. So we'll talk then. Take care of yourselves. Have a good Wednesday. Mitch and I will talk to you on Thursday. Take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye.